Arthritis is a painful and debilitating disease that limits joint mobility, impairing quality of life. Up to 80% of people over 65 have the disease, though only 60% have symptoms. With an ageing population, rates will inevitably increase. Today we're going to learn how to limit disability. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida. It's great to have you with me today. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Go Healthy Live, and previous broadcasts are available on our website, hopetv.org/gohealthy. There are over 100 different forms of arthritis. We'll explore the commonest of these today, osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. But first, I want to meet you to meet a man who has an unusual form of arthritis that starts much earlier than most. Here's David as he shares his personal journey of pain and disability.
I was diagnosed as having ankylosing spondylitis in 1972, the year I graduated from UCLA with my PhD in biostatistics. Ankylosing spondylitis is a big name for a very painful and crippling disease of the spine. It starts in the base of the spine with inflammation, and it works its way up, and as it goes, it produces intense inflammation and pain as it pinches the nerves. And then as it burns through the inflammatory stage, it leaves behind fusion. So most of my spine now is fused. But I remember coming out of the student health clinic at UCLA and telling my wife the news and just collapsing in the car there sobbing, because I'm a really active guy. I just love outdoor stuff, skiing and scuba diving and hiking and camping and all of that. And I said to my wife, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair. But a few years later, I was in a wheelchair. Went to my surgeon. He said, if we do surgery, you'll never walk again. I wasn't walking as it was. And we had no hope. And we went home and we prayed. The disease has certainly brought me face to face with discouragement many times, because it's an incurable disease as far as the scientific community is concerned. And I think that's one of the biggest things, hardest things for me, is just acceptance. To accept the fact that I do have an incurable disease. I do have limitations. You know, that's one of the toughest things for me, is to accept the limitations. I'm a doer. I'm a type A all the way, you know. And to pull back and to accept that there's things I cannot do is tough.
Joining me today through Skype is Dr. Keith Colburn, rheumatologist from Loma Linda University Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. Colburn.
Thank you.
Now, many of our viewers will have arthritis. What are the signs and symptoms of arthritis that they'll be able to recognize?
The most common signs and symptoms are pain and sometimes swelling of joints, and that's typically what most people get worried about when they come to see the doctor, is because they've developed a pain in a joint that they hadn't had before. And if there's swelling associated with it, it could be an inflammatory type of arthritis, but there are several different kinds of those, as you already pointed out.
Yes, we mentioned two types of arthritis. So let's start with the osteoarthritis. What causes osteoarthritis, and tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, osteoarthritis is what we often refer to as wear and tear arthritis. It typically comes with trauma or with age. The older we get, the more joints we have that have evidence of osteoarthritis. Matter of fact, I think most people past the age of 40 have x-ray evidence of having some osteoarthritis present in their joints, and some of the joints, the weight-bearing joints usually. Osteoarthritis in a non-weight-bearing joint would be considered secondary to something else, except for the tips of the fingers. The top two joints and the tips of your fingers, those joints can be have osteoarthritis for hereditary reasons.
Can we put up a graphic of what a knee might look like with osteoarthritis? And you walk us through that.
Okay, as you can see on this picture, you have bones almost touching each other at each end, and then at the surface of a bone is cartilage. And osteoarthritis is a disease of cartilage. The cartilage gets worn down, and then you have bone on bone when it's at its worst, and this causes a lot of pain, but also a loss in mobility. And the tendons and ligaments around that joint can also be involved. Those ligaments and tendons can get stretched with injuries, and they can also be, when you have the cartilage worn down, they're a little bit longer than they should be, so your knee is not as stable as it once was.
Right. Well, let's have a look at one of our graphics, looking at cartilage of a joint. And there's a actual photo of a joint there with cartilage, and we'll be able to see the smoothness of it.
Yes, cartilage is an interesting tissue in joints. Typically, it does not have blood vessels in it, and the way it gets nutrition is through movement. And if you put a joint in a cast, the cartilage will get thinner and thinner and kind of waste away. So it's important for joints to move in order to get nutrition and also to eliminate the waste material that's in them. And so when they're torn, a lot of the area that's been important for holding water in there, making the cartilage thick enough, this particular material, proteins that are inside the covering of the cartilage keep the cartilage thick, and when there's tears in the cartilage, then that you lose all those proteins, and then it becomes thin and you get arthritis.
Thank you. What about rheumatoid arthritis? Tell us a little about that.
Rheumatoid arthritis is the most common inflammatory arthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis has a basically an autoimmune background, at least we think it does, although we're doing some research that makes us think maybe it might be a little different than that. But anyway, we are, at the present time, we define rheumatoid arthritis as an autoimmune disease, and there's an inflammation of the lining of the joint called the synovium, and this lining of the joint it becomes thicker with inflammatory cells, and as you can see in this picture, instead of being smooth, it's now very rough, and the red spots are where it's more inflamed, and it becomes very painful because of the inflammation there, and the joints are not able to move very much. Now, this starts occurring at the margins of the joint, on each side of the joint, and then moves across the middle eventually to cause the joint to become bone on bone again. However, rheumatoid arthritis today is, we have a much better treatments, and I noticed a discussion with David earlier, his type of arthritis too is now much more treatable than it was back when he first got his disease.
Now, with rheumatoid arthritis, how important is it to have x-rays and blood tests in order to make the correct diagnosis?
They are very important. The important thing about the use of x-rays and lab tests, first of all, rheumatoid arthritis, about 80% of the patients have classically had a positive rheumatoid factor. Now, rheumatoid factor in the blood is a nonspecific test. Probably more people with liver disease have rheumatoid factors present than those with arthritis, but it was an important test at one time because it was the only thing we had. Now we have a new test called CCP, or cyclic citrullinated peptide. And this particular test is present in about 80% of rheumatoid patients and is very specific for rheumatoid arthritis. So it's a relatively new test, and it has been very helpful. The diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, however, is by criteria. And in the criteria, you have to have the right distribution of the arthritis. The arthritis has to be symmetrical, meaning that it has joints on both sides of the body somewhat equally distributed. It usually involves most joints, although it does not involve the joints at the tips of your fingers in most cases. It's involved, it's a systemic disease, so it can involve other organs in the body, not just the joints. It can involve the eyes, it can involve the heart, it can involve even sometimes the kidneys and other organs. And when it's really very severe, we have a form called rheumatoid vasculitis, which is commonly fatal if not treated appropriately and very aggressively.
My. We're discussing a very common problem of arthritis today in all its forms. In the next segment, Dr. Colburn and I will be joined by a physical therapist. That's when we can find out what can be done for arthritis. We're going to get practical. In just 1 minute, though, Justin will be here to wake one of my favorite foods, so don't go away.
In chapter 1 of The Great Hope, there's a description of Jesus that captivates me. He's described during the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, where thousands of voices declared him king. And then as he stopped and looked down over the city, it says, "The Son of God was in tears of intense agony." The majesty of heaven in tears? The scene filled all heaven with wonder. And then comes the sentence which fills me with hope. To Jesus, the loss of even one soul is a calamity. We know that he was in tears for the city, but to think that he would be in tears for even one lost soul, clearly he loves me enough. Surely he will pursue me all the days of my life until my heart is safe with him.
Hi, Justin.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Really?
Yes.
Good. Now, this is my favorite food. When did you have your last Italian meal?
Well, it was just a few days ago in Luxembourg.
Oh, I say.
Yes.
And
I got my first taste of Europe over the weekend. It was incredible.
Oh,
incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Are you hooked?
I'm hooked. I'm going back. I'm going back.
Great.
Someday.
So what did you have for your Italian meal?
Some delicious pasta. It was really good.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Yes, I love going to Italy, all that pasta. What have you got for us?
Today we are making pizza.
Mm-mm.
Yummy, yummy pizza. You know, pizza is, one of these fast and delicious types of meals.
Right.
So fast and delicious, but often not so healthy. Today we're going to...
It's
going to
be fast, delicious,
and healthy. Do you believe that? Yes.
Whoa.
It's going to happen. It's
going
to happen
here,
right now. Okay?
You ready? You ready?
Let's do this. Okay, so the ingredients, should we
talk
about the ingredients?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty
simple.
Self-evident, actually. Yeah.
I mean,
because there's no real recipe, is there?
Pizza crust and the stuff you put on it.
All right.
There you go.
There's our dish.
Yeah, it's on the screen. Okay. We are going to take this whole wheat pita bread that we've got here and put the...
So you're going to use this as a base?
Yeah, that's going to be...
That's easy.
Yeah.
Comes in a packet.
You don't have to make your dough. you can just go get some whole wheat
pull it out of the
bread.
Freezer.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
Great.
Okay. So we're going to take our tomato sauce here. And this is just tomato sauce out of a can. It's easy.
Like pasta sauce?
Pasta sauce.
Yeah, great.
Pasta sauce, yeah.
Oh, and it's got all those herbs and yummy
exactly.
things. And you can choose which flavor you like.
Exactly.
This is getting better and better.
I know, it's so easy. Even a bachelor could do it. Okay, so we're going to put this tomato sauce
in. Yeah, and bachelors need lots of tomato because it's got lycopene, which is good for the You know, the male bits.
Yeah, yeah. I've got male bits. I probably
you have?
Need some, yeah, I need some, like, okay. A peanut, I guess.
Yeah, you better have plenty. Yep.
Okay.
Now, one thing I like with my pizza, I like it right to the edge.
Oh, you're a purist.
And you know one thing, with the whole meal, mm-hmm. the whole wheat base, mm-hmm. it can actually get a little bit crusty and dry.
Oh,
for me,
yeah,
for my,
that's true. So
I push it right out there. So excuse me interfering with your wonderful recipe. What comes next?
Two cooks are better than one, I guess. So now we have, we've got some zucchini.
And that's eggplant.
And eggplant, an eggplant. We've got some mushroom. We've got some onion. We've got some red bell pepper here. And we've got some pineapple. And
those are my favorite ingredients.
Aren't those great?
Yeah.
You can do any one of these or leave one out if you don't like one of them. You know, this is pizza. You can put pretty much anything on it.
This is a great way, actually, to hide vegetables from your children.
They won't even know they're there.
I know. I do it to my husband, you know.
Little tip. We've actually sautéed the eggplant and the mushrooms and the onions to make sure that they cook. We're going to put this whole thing in the oven. And you can sauté them first if you'd like. You don't have to, but...
Okay,
nice
so that you can put it on raw, and then you just perhaps do it at a lower heat for a longer time.
Sure.
Sounds good.
So let's just put this stuff on here. We've got some delicious eggplant we're putting on there. Now, is there anything
that
particular
looks...
we need to know about eggplant?
Yeah, we need to know, did you wash your hands?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me?
Eggplant, we just need to know that it's my favorite vegetable.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all we need to know.
Yep. Actually, it is one of the nightshade groups, and which is probably relevant when we're talking about arthritis. Mm. Shall I help you?
Yeah, would you?
I'll do this. I'll do the mushrooms.
I'll put some...
It's not a pizza without mushrooms. Mm-mm-mm.
I must agree with you there. Look at all these different colors we're getting on here.
I know. It's like a rainbow.
Yeah. A rainbow of deliciousness.
Rainbow of deliciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
The best kind of rainbow, in my opinion.
This is going to be quite the meal when we get it done.
Yeah. You want to wrangle the pineapples onto there?
Oh, sure. Yum, yum.
Mm-hmm.
You can call this the Hawaiian.
Yes.
You just don't have any oink oink. Hey, you're having fun with that onion, I can tell.
Oh. Is there anything onion can't do?
Oh.
Okay, now we've...
Now that's missing something.
Yeah, we need some cheese, right?
Yeah, we do.
Could I?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the pouring cheese from that you made recently.
Right.
Same recipe.
Great.
So we're just going to...
And you know this freezes really well, so pop your pouring cheese in the freezer. Do the... whole batch, which was quite a lot if you read the recipe.
Yeah, and by the way.
Just pop it in the freezer. And I pop it in little baggies or small containers, and then I can just bring it out when I want to make pizza, and it's just right there.
The recipe for this cheese is on the website, so go check it out.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do this just like this.
Ooh! Hey, you can make pretty patterns with it like that.
That's great,
and it's no mess. You don't have to mess it out with a spoon or anything. Zip it up. No dishes. Hey,
yeah, no dishes.
Nice, nice.
That's
hey, that looks beautiful. That looks beautiful.
So you just pop this in the oven.
Can I start carving?
Do. Please. Please do.
Pop it in the oven. Yep.
And what is it, 450?
Yeah. Do you know what I do with mine is I just put it under the broiler.
Oh, yeah,
but mind you,
till it's nice and crispy brown. Now,
yeah, this one went a little bit far.
If you don't sauté your veggies first, you'll want to cook it at a lower heat for a longer time, just to make sure that those veggies are.
And if you just boil, it's just about 15 minutes. So.
Okay,
you know, it's less time than it takes to go down to the pizza. Whatever, I won't use that word.
And more highly delicious.
Oh dear,
it's higher in deliciousness. which is a very important nutrient.
You know what's so good about it is you can eat as much as you like without having any guilt pangs.
Mm. I feel kind of guilty for.
We're going to go cheers with our pizza. Oh, yeah. Finally.
Okay. Ding.
To pizza.
Yes. Mmm, that's wonderful.
Why would you go down the road for a pizza?
I have no idea. That is incredible. And this cheese recipe of yours just makes it. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, we had fun while you were away, but we did miss you.
Oh.
Now, let's get back to David and catch the second part of his miraculous story.
I was admitted as a patient at a therapy spa in Desert Hot Springs. And while there, they employed all of nature's natural remedies for healing. Diet, exercise, hydrotherapy, massage, rest, divine power, and prayer. About 2 weeks out there and the inflammation of the disease was dying down. But there was another problem that they could not deal with. I had a loose prosthesis, that is the steel shaft of my artificial hip that I had by that time had come loose way down inside the femur, and it was producing microfractures when I walked. Well, I think I've been swimming ever since I was diagnosed with the disease pretty much. It's a way that I can exercise aerobically and yet not cause stress or pain to the joints. And it actually stretches the joints. The water's a natural way, and the swimming is a natural way of doing that. The end of the second week out there, I had a dream. And in my dream, a big hand, much bigger than a human hand, came and grabbed me behind the bad knee and did a sweet massage all the way up to my hip. And not only could I see it, I could feel it. And I yelled, I woke myself up, woke my wife up, I told her the dream. The next morning, my massage therapist, I mentioned the dream casually to her, and about 15 minutes into the massage, she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "David, that was not a dream that you had last night. Angel of the Lord came and touched you. Your prosthesis isn't loose anymore." And praise God, it wasn't, but I still had pain when I tried to walk. Each day, however, I would walk in the pools and the water would take the weight off. And after 7 weeks, I was able to walk out of the therapy center pushing my wheelchair and carrying my crutches. This has been a very long journey, and it's a continual journey. It's not over yet. I still have the disease. It still has the capability to flare up, and I go through periods of intense inflammation. And yet, God, through these periods, leads me, because I think a very, very important part of our healing is having hope that God does love us, that He will work out what is best for us, and in a way that will also benefit others.
To push your wheelchair and carry your crutches after just a few weeks, that's a miracle. I've been discussing arthritis with Dr. Keith Colburn, rheumatologist from Loma Linda University Medical Center. And joining us now in the studio is Krista Frederick, Clinic Director, Forever Fit Physical Therapy and Wellness from right here in Maryland. Krista has a Master in Physical Therapy degree. Welcome, Krista. Now, Dr. Colburn was telling us that that cartilage that covers the surface of our joints that is wearing or thinning down, it relies on movement for circulation and therefore for good health. Yet arthritis is pain and people tend to want to hold that joint. So how do you work around this?
That's a good question. You know, it's actually probably one of the most common misconceptions people have is that they should not move a joint that's painful. But with arthritis particularly, even more so than other joint problems, really depends on movement for that nutrition and to get rid of the inflammation and pain in the joint. So that's one of the first things we always teach people is you have to move. It actually makes most people feel better. Arthritis patients will tell you they feel worse first thing in the morning when they haven't been moving at night or if they've been sitting for a prolonged period of time. So just teaching them that first thing they should do when they get up in the morning is do some stretching and move around, or while they're sitting before they go to stand up, stretch their legs out, and they're going to feel a lot better and it's going to be a lot easier to get moving.
So it just takes some discipline initially to do the movement that you really would prefer not to do.
It does.
And then you're going to feel better.
Absolutely. It does definitely decrease pain.
Dr. Colburn, what are the medical treatment options for arthritis?
Do you want rheumatoid arthritis or osteo first?
Well, either. You decide.
Okay, well, rheumatoid is easier to treat now. Matter of fact, we have miraculous treatments for rheumatoid arthritis these days. If you catch rheumatoid arthritis early, you may have patients who, if they stay on the treatment program, may not know that they have arthritis, except for the fact they have to take medicines. Some of the new drugs that we have, which are called biologics, are kind of magic bullet-like medications that go directly to the inflammatory mediators that are causing the arthritis and don't affect the rest of the body all that much. There are a few side effect problems with them that are much fewer than most of the other types of drugs we have, but nevertheless, they are outstanding, and probably about 85% of the rheumatoid arthritis patients we can get into complete remission or pretty close to it.
Fantastic. What about osteoarthritis?
Osteoarthritis is a problem that we have not solved very well yet. Probably the biggest advance in treatment of osteoarthritis has been the artificial joint, unfortunately, in the last 100 years. And so that particular treatment actually works pretty good, but it's nothing like having your own joints working perfectly. Most of the time, we have to treat the pain of osteoarthritis. Every one of us, when we grow, we need to take care of them. We need to exercise, keep the muscles strong around the joints, but also not to overdo it to the point that we hurt our joints badly.
So, Krista, how does someone know that? How do they know that turning point between overdoing it and doing enough?
Sure. Most people with arthritis, when they're exercising, if they're doing something that is going to cause that, get them to that point of overdoing it, they're going to start feeling pain early in that process, and it's gradually going to get worse and worse. It's rarely a delayed onset type of pain.
Great. And post-operatively, we've talked about osteoarthritis and the fact that often those patients need to have a new joint surgically placed. Post-operatively, do they have a slower rehab than other patients post-op, say orthopedic patients?
Sure. Post-op patients after a total joint replacement, it varies depending on the joint. A total hip replacement actually goes very quickly for most patients. There's a lot of soreness at the surgical site, but they feel great. They stand up right after surgery, and that arthritis pain in their joint is gone. But total knees tend to take a little bit longer. The pain and stiffness with rehab takes a couple of months to really start to get better, but almost everyone says it's worth it in the long run.
Is that right?
So they get out of bed very quickly, and they have to get moving even though they don't want to. But in the long run, most of them are pain-free within 3 or 4 months after the surgery, if not sooner.
So. Fantastic. Dr. Colburn, are there any foods that affect arthritis?
It's a good question. I've looked at this for a number of years, and I have had a number of patients that would tell me, well, you know, milk products make me feel worse, and another one that says coffee does, another one that says kidney beans make me feel worse. Generally speaking, as far as individual foods causing arthritis, it's very individual to a very small minority of the patients. We do know there are a few studies that have been done to show that in rheumatoid arthritis, before we had all these super great drugs, that vegetarian diet actually people felt a little bit better on that than they did if they had a lot of high protein, especially red meat in their diets. But with the new medications and treatments, that kind of overcomes the that advantage that vegetarians have. And I think at least at this point, it's a little difficult to show a difference. But definitely that was the case before we had the new biologics.
Thank you. Krista, if someone has early arthritis, is there, from your perspective as a physical therapist, is there ways that they can slow the process?
Sure, there's a couple of ways. The first is to actually, very specifically, is to manage your weight. If you are overweight, that's going to put a lot more stress on your joints. You can have 4 times your body weight on your knee joint when you're going up the steps. So if you lose just 5 or 10 pounds, that's going to take a significant amount of pressure off of your arthritic hip or your arthritic knee.
So losing 5 pounds is equivalent to losing 20 pounds pressure off your knee.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. So, and then also exercise. We want to make sure that we're doing exercise, but we have to be careful that it's lower impact exercise choices as opposed to higher impact. So cycling, swimming, water aerobics classes, yoga, tai chi, any of those sort of exercise programs are much better for people who have early arthritis in helping to make sure they're healthy, meet those weight loss goals, but not put stress on the joint. You want to avoid any jumping or running, things that will cause a lot of pounding and pressure on the joint.
Well, that makes a great sense. As we're learning, exercise is a critical component for staying healthy when you have arthritis. So Krista's going to take us through some really helpful exercises in just a few minutes. But first, let's watch today's medical news report. Headlines today, more energy but the same pace, an hour a day to keep the syndrome away, Mediterranean diet slows aging and oil those joints. A study has been published by a Maryland-based group of researchers to assess why people walk more slowly as they age. The participants ranged from 32 to 96 years of age. They adjusted for walking-related pain and balance problems. Energy used per minute was the same regardless of age. Energy used per meter increased with age after 65 and especially after 80. This was reflected in walking pace. So if you're in that age group, don't worry about slowing down. Just be sure not to stop walking. Metabolic syndrome affects about 1 in 4 Americans. It's characterized by central obesity, high blood pressure, and an abnormal lipid profile. It carries a high risk for cardiovascular disease and diabetes. Researchers in Belgium have found that adults were 75% less likely to have metabolic syndrome if they spent at least an hour each day in moderate to vigorous physical activity, regardless of their total sedentary time. Remember, 60 minutes can be broken into chunks of time throughout the day. Squeeze them in wherever you can. 2,000 individuals over 70 were followed for 8 years to see how their diet altered the age-related decline in walking speed. Adherence to a Mediterranean diet was associated with a faster walking speed and less decline with aging. Those with high adherence to the Mediterranean diet also had better health habits, including less smoking, a more ideal body weight, and greater physical activity. These findings published this week from Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel. But remember, you don't have to live on the Mediterranean to eat a Mediterranean diet. A Japanese study of diet in rheumatoid arthritis patients has found that those consuming less fish oil and lower monounsaturated fat ratio had worse disease. The researchers noted that the more omega-3 fats, fish oil and monounsaturated fats eaten seem to affect disease activity. It decreased inflammatory markers and decreased inflammation. So if you have arthritis, you may prefer to use olive oil for cooking and flaxseed oil for dressings. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's medical news report.
In our current series on Hope Sabbath School, we're looking at the big picture of Scripture, growing in Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We'll be looking from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the big story of God's good plan for each one of our lives. We hope you'll join us for Hope Sabbath School and see what God can do to bless your life.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. Here I am with Krista, our guest physical therapist, ready to learn some moves that will help prevent or alleviate arthritis. Krista, what have you got for us?
Well, today I'm going to show you a lot of stretches and some balance and strengthening exercises for your hips.
Sounds good.
Because your hips are the key to helping keep your back, your hip, and your knee from hurting for most people.
Wow.
So flexibility, if you're tight in your muscles, it's going to increase the compression on your joints, and it's going to start to make them push together and increase that pressure on the bones and tends to make it hurt worse. So we're going to start with the flexibility exercises.
All right.
It's important that you warm up first before you stretch. So we want to make sure that if you're at home when you're doing these, that you warm up for a good 30 seconds at least, 2 minutes to get moving.
So
you can do simple things like marching in place, walking in place, bending your knees back.
And we could even do marching sitting down, couldn't we?
Yes, absolutely. You just want to get blood flowing to the muscles before you stretch them.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
So the first stretch that we'll show you is a hamstring stretch. So what you want to do at home is scoot toward the edge of a chair. A firm chair is better than a soft, cushy couch. And you're going to stretch 1 foot out. Pull your toes back towards you and lean forward, push down on your knee a little bit, and lean forward till you feel a stretch in the back of your leg. Good, and your head is up, perfect. We want to make sure that you don't slump, those of you at home, correct?
We don't want this.
We want to be nice and straight. Good. And you want to count to about 10 seconds, nice and slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You want to make sure you do both legs. Good. You want to relax your lower back so it doesn't hurt. Good. 1, 2, 3. Make sure you pull your toes back. Good. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Good. Next, we're going to show you a stretch for your hip muscles. So what I want you to do is to cross your ankle over your knee like this. Take your hands on the outside of your knee and pull up towards your opposite shoulder, sitting up nice and tall. Good. Yep, just like that. Perfect. You want to feel the stretch in the outside of your buttock. Okay. If you can't get your ankle across your knee like that, not everyone is that flexible, you can cross your leg here and even lean forward a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And then switch legs. Good. If that's too much stretch for you, you can even take your hand and actually push your knee away a little bit. And you may also feel a stretch that way.
Okay. So either push it away.
So you can push away.
Towards.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So then we're going to stand up and we're going to come behind the chair. If you have a balance problem, you might want to hold on to something. If you don't, then you can just stay in balance on 1 foot.
All right.
The more you challenge your balance, the better. Okay, so for this stretch, you're going to grab onto your ankle, okay, and pull back until you feel a stretch through the front of the thigh.
All right.
Okay, now if you can't reach your leg, some of you may not be able to reach your ankle, you can use a strap or a belt or even a dog leash around your ankle to try to pull up, okay? Very good. It's important to make sure that you don't pull your leg out to the side this way. That'll put a lot of stress on your knee joint.
Okay. So you don't want to be doing that.
Correct. You want your knee pointed straight down toward the floor.
Okay.
Very good. And switch legs. Good. And she's showing you the balance challenge now. Okay, so the last few exercises we're going to show you are aimed at strengthening your hip muscles because your hip helps control the position of your knee and also your spine. Okay, so if you can balance on 1 foot, that's great. Try not to hold on to anything. If your balance isn't so great, then go ahead and hold on to a chair or the countertop. And what you're going to do is tighten that front thigh muscle, and you're going to kick your leg out in front of you. Okay, and you don't need to go so high, just about this high, and then slowly back down. And those of you with knee problems, this is very important to make sure you tighten that front thigh muscle, because that's the key to having a good, strong knee. When you have an arthritic knee, you'll tend to want to keep that knee bent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'll want to do about 20 to 30 going forward. Good. And then we're going to go out to the side. So you want to come out. Good. It's important to make sure you keep that leg kicking slightly backwards when you come out to the side.
Oh.
Yes, just like that. Perfect. Good. Try to keep that knee straight. Maybe if I turn this way,
then you'll be able to see.
Good. Those of you at home, you may find that you want to cheat and bring your leg out in front of you. Those muscles tend to be stronger.
So don't cheat that way.
Good. And then finally, you want to come straight back. Make sure when you come back, we're working that buttock muscle. Good. Keep your knee straight. Don't let that knee bend. Perfect. Very good. So make sure you repeat those on the other leg. And then finally, we're just going to review a couple of posture tips.
Great.
Okay, so one of the most common posture problems, especially for knee patients, is to keep your knees pushed all the way back or hyperextended. So it's important to make sure you keep your knees nice and loose so that the pressure is on the balls of your feet slightly and not just back on your heels. Also, to make sure that you're not leaning backwards. This way, you want to bring your rib cage directly over top of your pelvis. You might feel like you're falling over a little bit, but I promise you won't. And you want to just keep those knees nice and relaxed so all that pressure comes straight down into your feet and your legs. Okay.
So that eases the pressure on the hips.
That will ease the pressure on the hips, on the inside portion of the knee, and also on your lower back.
Wow.
So you can
just something as simple as posture.
Yes, that's probably important. A simple, but not so simple. Otherwise, we'd all have wonderful posture, right?
Well, we forget our posture, don't we?
We do.
It's so easy.
It keeps
to
me
forget.
In business. So.
Great. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to answer some questions that you, our faithful viewers, have sent me during our previous shows. But first, here is another Ageless Advantage spot. Enjoy.
Are we ever too old to begin a physically active lifestyle? A 2009 study of 1,900 seniors would argue no. At age 70, the survival rate of those who were physically active was 2 times that of those who did not exercise. At age 85, the rate was 3 times higher. The study found that even starting physical activity very late in life was beneficial. No matter your age, a physically active life is another ageless advantage.
Thank you for all your questions and comments. Now, remember you can go to our website, that's hopetv.org/gohealthy, and there you'll find all the shows, you can repeat them, all the recipes that we do on the show, that's at hopetv.org/gohealthy. Now, don't forget to call us live. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY, that's 855-400-4325, or text your questions to 301-960-5144. And we still have a great offer for our callers. If you call us now during our live broadcast with a question about arthritis, then we will send you this book free. So call now. Remember, it's only for our live show. And thank you for posting your comments and questions on Facebook. And here are some questions that we didn't get a chance to answer during our previous shows. I have a question. Vivian asks, how much juicing should a person drink in a day? Well, Vivian, depends what you're juicing for. If it's just with your normal meals, you might want to have 1 glass a day. If you're fasting and you're replacing all of your meals that particular day, you could do 3 juices in a day. Someone else asked, what are the best things to juice for a child? And that was a text message. Well, you want to keep it nice and sweet for children. So maybe an apple and a carrot, or some fresh orange juice, but go steady with the green. They're not so fond of juiced vegetables. Kumbo asks on Facebook, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I wanted to find out if I have to exercise every day at the same time to maintain good glucose control, or is it okay to skip days as long as I exercise 2 to 3 days a week for 30 minutes? Combo, you need to, well, all diabetics actually, you need to think about your exercise as being your medicine. So on the days that you exercise, you may need to cut your insulin. The days you don't exercise, you're going to need to take it up again. So I would encourage you to try to exercise most days so that you really keep yourself in good shape, because diabetes can take its toll. Brianna on Facebook asks, what about the sugar-free sodas and energy drinks? Will they affect my teeth, and are they still unhealthy even though they're sugar-free? And then another person, Esther, posted on Facebook, I'm wondering if sugar-free products are good for diabetics. So let me roll those two together. Yes, it's good to get away from the sugar for the diabetes, but the problem with these sugar-free drinks and things is they're high in phosphate, they're going to leach calcium out of your body and thin your bones. And we're talking about bones today, so that's not a good thing. And the other thing is they're very high in acidity, and that is hard on the body. We want to keep our bodies as alkaline as possible, so preferably don't go for sugar-free drinks. And then Judy called and said, what part does sleep play in stress? Well, Judy, stress and sleep are so closely linked. When we're stressed, we don't sleep. If we don't sleep, then we get stressed. And so the better sleep we can have, the better we're going to be able to cope with stress. But the better we keep our stress under control, the better we're going to sleep. Thank you for sending those questions. Keep sending them. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Send my experts your questions right now live. But let's take a look at how David's story ends.
I think the biggest thing I like to tell people is that they can choose to trust God, and that they can choose to be happy even when things look hopeless. And that's tough, and I want to tell you it's tough, okay, because I know when I'm in a lot of pain and disability, I in my head know that I should have a happy, positive attitude, but it ain't there. It just isn't. Pruning is kind of like our lives. God causes painful trials to cut out things, but as a result, we produce more fruit for Him. Hope in the Lord and faith in God has healing in and of itself. I'm not a subscriber to that just having a positive attitude brings about our healing. God does heal us. He really does, because I was in a hopeless physical situation, and God brought healing to me. But He gives us the privilege of cooperating with Him in choosing to have hope, in choosing joy. You know, He gave me a little song this summer about you can choose to be happy, or you can choose to be sad, or you can choose to get in a huff over stuff and spend your day being mad. You know, that's the little rhyme of the song. And He does. He gives us that choice. I went for a walk one morning out back here, and the birds were singing, and it was sunrise, and I had to use crutches, and I was feeling pretty grumpy about life, you know, and having all this disability and pain. And as I listened to the birds singing, I realized I could make the choice to sing too, and I did, and God brought me this little song, and I came back singing. I mean, I was walking with my crutches, and I was still in pain, and I was still in disability, but there was a song in my heart. And it's been a really long haul, you know? I mean, I've had this disease now most of my active life, 40 years now dealing with this disease. It's a long time, and yet I still have hope that God is loving me, He's enabled me to deal with this, and that He's coming soon to end all this pain and suffering. But in the meantime, He asks us to encourage others who are in pain and suffering.
Having hope and encouraging others is important in giving our own journey meaning. Now, we have some calls on the line, and Ruby from Ohio is on the line. Ruby, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question for us tonight?
Yes, I had polio when I was 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I walk with braces and crutches, but in order to exercise, I have to sit in a chair, so I can't walk very much. And and I also have arthritis and rotator cuff problems with my shoulders. And I was just wondering what would they suggest I do to help that.
Oh, there's a good question for you, Krista.
Sure, Ruby. Thanks for your question. It's important that you definitely keep exercising. As far as the rotator cuff problem goes, there are a lot of different causes of rotator cuff injury. So for that particular problem, I would suggest that you probably seek out seeing an orthopedic surgeon or physical therapist to get a little bit more specific guidance on your shoulder. But you can do similar exercises to what we were just working on, sitting in a chair as well. So just simply even putting a band around your knees and pushing your knees in and out instead of lifting your leg out to the side. If you can do that, you can work on squeezing a pillow or sitting and marching in place, tapping your toes, things like that just to help keep you moving, so that at least you're getting some exercise and your joints are getting that movement and nutrition that we talked about.
And maybe finding a physical therapist that can help with those.
Absolutely.
That shoulder.
Yes,
posture must be very important when you're taking a lot of your weight through your shoulders.
Yes.
Now we have a call on the line, Lillian from Canada. Lillian, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question?
Thank you. I was just wondering, I did a lot of snow skiing and so forth, and I had fallen, and I had been on crutches for about 5 weeks, and my knee and my hip is really quite bad, and I was just wondering how often I'm supposed to do these exercises that I saw you and this gal talking about, and I would be happy to hear how often I should be doing these things.
Great question, Lillian. Krista, tell us, how often should people do those?
So those exercises should be done once a day at minimum. If you're feeling stiff or tight and find that you can't actually do very much stretching, you should probably even increase that to twice a day. You also want to hold the stretches, the first few exercises we went over, for 30 to 60 seconds for the maximum benefit.
Thank you. Now I have Lem Lem on the phone from California. Lem Lem, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question for us?
My question is, I have head pain. Like, it looks like my brain is coming out over the middle of my head in the night. At daytime, I'm okay in my head. And then my neck, I cannot look right or left. My shoulders, my joints, all my back, and my temple, behind my ear, I have pain. But during the day, I'm okay. I'm not okay, but I can manage it. What do you think? Is that arthritis? And my thumb is one, the left hand is swollen, the joint.
Dr. Colburn, what do you think?
And I have eye problem, and the doctor says my eye pressure is low, 12.
Thank you, Lem Lem. Let me just ask Dr. Colburn about that first question that you've asked. Dr. Colburn, what do you think about all the neck and head pain that Lem Lem's getting during the night?
Well, it does sound like that she does have some arthritis in her neck. It's very common to get osteoarthritis or wear and tear arthritis in the neck joints. We see it especially after maybe 5 or 6 years after a whiplash injury, or maybe a football player who injured his neck playing football. You know, injury develops into arthritis later on in the neck especially. And so I think she should probably go see her physician. Rheumatologist, of course, would be nice if you have one available, but any of your doctors can get an x-ray of your neck, and possibly, if you need it, an MRI of the neck to try to determine what exactly is happening there. And I think that then the diagnosis of what is happening there will help us decide what kind of treatment would be best. Physical therapy is very helpful sometimes to people who have the neck problems like that, because you get a lot of neck muscle spasms. Even with arthritis, with bad arthritis, you can get some relief that way. But sometimes you may need even a surgical procedure in certain really severe cases, but hopefully you can stay away from that as long as possible.
Thank you. Now, Esther from Virginia. Esther, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. What's your question for us tonight?
My question is about a knee problem. I'm a runner and a walker, and lately the knee bothers me. I do exercise quite a bit, but it doesn't seem to go away. What can I do?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes, we're just having trouble hearing you. Can you speak a little louder and slower?
Yeah, I just said I'm a runner and a walker, and lately at certain age, the knee bothers me quite a bit. Sometimes I'm okay, sometimes it's just a pain. And I do exercise. I stretch and do whatever it seems to be necessary to reduce the pain, but it doesn't seem to go away. What else can I do?
Okay, so you're running and walking, but you're still getting pain despite doing the stretches. Any suggestions there, Krista?
Esther, there are a lot of different things that can cause knee pain, especially the types of pain that you get with running and walking. There can be tendon problems. There can be a joint problem going on. And if the stretches alone haven't helped it, then you probably, like some of the last couple callers we've talked to, you should talk to your physician and maybe a physical therapist so they can actually see what exercises to prescribe specifically.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Colburn. Thank you, Krista. It's been great having you on the show. If you have arthritis, remember that there are many options available for you to maintain function and quality of life. Most importantly, if you're above ideal weight, the most effective treatment is to get your weight down. Krista's given us some great resources to help with weight and movement. So put all that good advice to use. Aim to wear yourself out. Don't rust out. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. On our next show, we'll be sharing tips for a healthy pregnancy. So be sure to be here, and we'll see you next time.